Good morning. Welcome to St. Andrew Lutheran Church, and especially if you're a visitor this morning, thank you for being here. We hope you hear something that is a blessing for your life, whether it challenges you or comforts you. We have new member orientation coming up at 10:45 in the chapel. So if you've been thinking about joining, or if you've been attending for a while and would like to officially join, this is a great opportunity to just get to know the people and get to know a little bit about the church. It's just a little more than an hour in length of time, so please feel free to come. Today we have a few announcements that I just would like to highlight for you, and first I'll start with a bit of a misprint. Confirmation worship is on Sunday, October 27th, not 28th, that's a Monday, at 2 p.m., and I had the good fortune to be out with our ninth graders at Waypost Camp this weekend, and I'm so impressed by them. Their depth of faith inspires me. And so please do keep them in your thoughts and in your prayers as they finish up their faith statements and as they prepare to affirm their baptism. It's a big thing to say yes to those promises. So I'm grateful for their witness and their life and their faith. That same day, the newly rebooted member outreach ministry is sponsoring a trunk or treat. If you've never been to one before, they're pretty wonderful because it's like trick-or-treating in a parking lot and going to different trunks that are decorated in various themes. So if that would be something you'd like to do, it's a great way to get to know people. It's something simple you can do to participate in the life of the church. And if you'd like to be a part of planning that or being a part of that newly rebooted membership outreach team, they're meeting today at 10:45. And so this is Tammy, and she's the council rep for member outreach. If you have questions, you can talk to her. They have a big year ahead of them because they're also planning our companion visit. Our brothers and sisters from Zeerust, South Africa, are coming. And so there's a lot of exciting things on the horizon for that team. So please see Tammy, or feel free to attend that meeting. It's going to be in the Fellowship Hall at 10:45. Mark Gleisner is here from the Stewardship Finance Ministry with an invitation and an announcement.
Good morning, everybody. Just a couple of announcements. First, Dave Ramsey, organization that runs the Financial Peace University program, is having a live stream event on November 20th. It's about a three-hour live stream event. The cost is, it's $19.99 now. It was $9.99 for early registration, but it's gone up. The Financial Peace University program is a 9-week course that goes into how to eliminate debt, how to better manage your money, how to live stress-free as far as money goes. Also talks about how you get a college education without going into debt. We've conducted that here a number of times. This live stream event is a summarized jumpstart to that program. And the advantage is you get to do it in the comfort of your own home. You don't have to commit to 9 weeks. If you've considered taking the 9-week Financial Peace University course previously but weren't quite ready to commit to 9 weeks, this one-day, three-hour session at home might be something that you want to do. And then after you've done it, you might decide you want to take the 9-week course. I'd also encourage you, if you're thinking that it would be helpful for your teenagers maybe to get exposed to how to better manage money, it's an opportunity to include them. And again, the big advantage is it's in the comfort of your home, and if after an hour or two you decide it's not for you, you can turn off your computer and go watch TV. So details for the course are on the Finance Stewardship Bulletin Board. You can take one of the pull tags there. And if we have enough interest after people have taken this, then we might conduct another 9-week session in the spring. Another announcement, I want to thank everybody for sending in your time and talent cards. We had a good response this year, especially when we're looking at the responses for activities, resources, skills, and occupations. There were 45 different interests that showed up on the cards we got back. I was a little surprised. The number one interest was yoga, and that was one of the last things we added to the list. There were 14 people that indicated yoga was an interest. Arts and crafts was next with 10. Walking had 9, hiking had 7. If you combine those two, then that was the number one. The other thing that surprised me was Singing, there were only five people that said they had interest in singing, and I know we have a choir, so I know there's more people that could have returned their cards. But anyway, thank you for the great response there. Final announcement, the pledge cards is part of our annual response program. That's all been mailed out. If you haven't received them already, you should be receiving them in the next day or two. Our ministries and the church leadership are busy right now planning what their activities are going to be for the coming year. And having people pledge what they're going to give really helps us to know what we're going to have available and so what activities we can then do based on that. So we ask people to please pledge. If you haven't pledged before, please consider doing so. And know that by pledging, you really help us figure out what it is we're going to be able to do and what things we might not be able to do in the next year. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. And as it turns out, there's a yoga instructor who's a part of church council and said, Pastor Jen, we have to talk after the first service. So that'll be kind of fun to see how the Spirit moves in that time and talent response. So thank you to those of you who are returning those and for your generosity and your spirit. And then lastly, a word of sympathy to the family of Barbara Brace. These flowers that are here today are from her memorial service that we had on Thursday. And so, Al, we keep you in our prayers and your girls and are so thankful for your care for her. And we remember you in prayers and pray for God's strength in your life. With that, let's stand together and center our hearts and our minds as we begin with a confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Recognizing our need for God's mercy, let us confess our sin and seek reconciliation with God and each other. God of justice and compassion, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not been faithful stewards of your creation. We have failed to share the bounty of your harvest with the poor and needy. Forgive our sin, increase our faith, strengthen us in service, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Heaven rejoices when a sinner repents and a lost sheep is found. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering song number 453. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty and merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us to do through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd invite the children forward for a message. Good morning. Good morning. Guten Tag. Wie geht's? How's everybody doing today? So there's something up here on the altar area that's a little different, and I'm wondering if you can spot what it is. The flowers are a little different. Yep, there's another thing that's a little different. Can you see it? Can you see it? It's over here. There's a pumpkin. There's a little bit of pumpkin. How many of you have a pumpkin for a jack-o'-lantern so far? Okay. So we have neighbors down the road on Double N, and they have this great little place where you can get pumpkins. And so Jenna and I went, and we got 30 pumpkins. And I drove around all week with 30 pumpkins in my car because we had a retreat yesterday where we carved them. And when we were carving them, I got to thinking about how carving a pumpkin is a lot like how God sees us. When you're looking for a pumpkin, you're looking for the one that's just right, right? So I think about how God picks us and God chooses us in our baptism, and we're just right. We're the right kind of pumpkin. And then what God does is God washes all the dirt off of us, makes sure we're ready. And then what happens after you wash the pumpkin? What's the next thing to do? You take the guts out. Exactly. So to do that, what do you have to do? Well, God doesn't actually take the top off our, yeah. But yeah, God, you have to take the guts out, right? How do you feel about that part? Disgusted. I know. It was so messy yesterday out of camp that I actually had somebody do it for me. And what's all in there? What's inside this pumpkin? Seeds and goop. Yep. So do you think as we extend the metaphor, right, or we think about this pumpkin thing, God's like that for us too. God takes out all of the seeds that are in us, all of the seeds of hate, all of the seeds that cause us hurt, and we become clean. We're made new. And then we're made in God's image. So if you do a face on there, you can remember God makes us in God's image. So that means that we have a lot of love and a lot of life that God desires for us. And then what happens at the very end once you've carved a face? You put light in it, right? So you have a light in there. And that's like faith. Faith is like our light inside of the pumpkin. And it reminds us that we have a light to shine. And that means that when we shine our light, what we're doing is we're reflecting God's light. So we have an opportunity that if we see somebody who's cold, what can we do? We can help them be warm, right? We see someone who's sad, what can we do? We can help them be happy. And so you guys each have a light inside of you. So God scoops out all of that stuff inside of us that we don't want anymore and replaces it with the light of Jesus. And Jesus gives us that strength and that light to help other people in need, which is really cool. So when you're carving your pumpkins, think about your faith a little bit, if that's something that you do or your family does. Or even when you just see one, think about your faith and how God is putting a light inside of you too. Okay? So let's have a prayer. The Lord be with you. Gracious God, thank you for putting a light within us. Pray that you would be with these children as they learn and as they grow today in Sunday school. Inspire them, encourage them, help them to shine the light of Jesus in all they say and do. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming up. You guys can head to Sunday school. So happy to see you today.
A reading from 2 Kings. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and he said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and he went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the church, earth except in Israel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Psalm 111 is appointed for us today. We'll read responsibly by whole verse, Psalm 111. Hallelujah, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. Majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever. You give food to those who fear you, remembering forever your covenant. The works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. All of your precepts are sure. You sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name.
A reading from 2 Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this, and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth, the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them to be found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated.
Mary Oliver writes, "It is a serious thing just to be alive on this fresh morning in this broken world. Just to be alive. Just to be alive is a gift. In fact, it's all a gift. All of it. The crazy stuff, the life-giving stuff, the hard stuff. But it can be hard sometimes to recognize the gift. We live in a world of lack. We live in a world where there is great need. And we notice this around us, and it impacts us. And it allows us to think and to act. I was inspired to learn that there was a group of 7th grade confirmation students on Wednesday night who were recognizing the need for more help in the food pantries at some of the middle schools, especially Horace Mann. And so they thought to themselves, we have agency, we can do something, let's help our peers. And I got winds that there might be a bake sale on the horizon, so you might want to watch out for that. They're inspired and encouraged to meet that lack head on. Maybe they recognize the gifts that they have been given. While for some, the lack is real and quite detrimental to the health and quality of life, for others, the lack we feel is less substantial, but it's still with us, isn't it? So we see commercials and we think about what we're missing in life. Maybe it's a certain upgrade of a cell phone, or the car we're driving is okay, but we're sick of it, and we're not so sure that we want to drive this one around for too much longer. Or we're on the hunt for the perfect winter coat, or whatever it would be. Even though we recognize that what we have is sufficient, we still experience the lack. We do this as a species, though. So if that's you, you're not alone. We're on this journey to seek contentment and healing, and we're looking for something to fill that void. We're looking for something that will help bring a kind of peace or wholeness or vitality, and we do it in creative ways sometimes. But it's all a gift. And today specifically, we have the gift of time. So what a good day to write a letter or to make a difference, even if it's just in a small way in someone else's life. It's a great day to just be kind, to smile at someone. We also have the gift of that same agency that our seventh graders recognize. We are not helpless. We can do things to address the lack in our own lives and in the lives of this community. We have the ability to care. We can help. We can even be brave and care for ourselves. It's possible to make a choice to heal an old wound or to seek the help that we need and grow as people. No matter our age and stage of life, it is not too late. So I wonder, what would it look like if this afternoon or later this week, you were able to find some time to sit at your kitchen table or in your favorite chair and to make a list? Just a simple list of all of the gifts, the resources that you have, all of the values that are important to you, all of the relationships that you prioritize, all of the qualities of your character, to recognize when you think about it, how vast and beautiful the gift really is. How much God has filled your life full to the brim with gift. What would it look like to keep that list somewhere you see it all the time? I don't know, for me it would be the refrigerator or the bathroom mirror, I suppose. To keep it there and to continue to add to it as a constant reminder that every need that you've ever had may not have been met right away, but it has been met. That there has been daily bread and forgiveness, and that there has been healing in your life. So when we do the work of this as a community, that process of analyzing what is already present as a gift and a resource for us is called asset mapping. In a way, we look toward the budgeting process and the ministry planning for 2020. We've already begun the process of asset mapping through the resource called time and talent that Mark was talking about. We do this through the pledge process, which helps us recognize the generosity that's already here. Because God has given us all we need to be doing the work and ministry in this congregation and in this community to make a difference as a group and to really spread and share the gift that God has given to us. All these tools really do is allow you to maybe think about what you might uniquely be willing to offer up to the church. So because of the gifts and the generosity that you share, we're able to do big things in this community. And I wish you could see it. I wish you could see how this church on a weekly basis is literally giving blankets to people who are cold. How this church is showing up to allow for people who don't have a ride to the doctor to get a ride to the doctor. How this church does the work of feeding, not just physically, but also spiritually, visiting people who are lonely. Couples who come here to be married are getting the care to start their marriage off on the right foot. People who are grieving losses are being heard and accompanied. People who long to grow in their own sense of faith and recognize that they are not alone are given opportunities to explore the scriptures in community. People without a sense of hope can find it here. We are not perfect as a church, but what we do have are gifts to share to make the world a better place. And it is not all my doing. It's your doing. As the body of Christ in this place, the agency you have as you leave this church today and head to your homes and then head to the office or to the classroom tomorrow is profound. Because we are a group of people who gather committed to the mission of Jesus and the mission of St. Andrew to be open to all. And there are many people that have not experienced that kind of openness. And we have that gift to share. And it's really all just a gift. And if you haven't heard it lately, you are a gift. Because when you come here and you sing or you stand in solidarity with those who sing, you're adding your voice to a group and reminding people that they're not singing alone. And when we say the Lord's Prayer together and we breathe at the same intervals, what will happen is our physiology will literally line up. And in unison, we will say words together, words that we pray to God about what we hope for the world, that God's kingdom is revealed, that God's will is revealed to us together, so that we might be about the work of Jesus together, to share the gift. I think about how powerful it is that when we extend the peace of Christ to one another, there is a physical hand to shake or a smile to share. And that is not just your peace. It's the peace of Jesus that you extend to each other, that we take with us out into the world. There were 10 lepers who were healed of leprosy. 10 people who had an encounter with Jesus himself, and he restored them to life. But there was only one who recognized the gift. The verb was to see. He saw that he was healed. And when he saw that he was healed, he returned and he gave thanks and praise to God. Not in a subtle way, but in a loud voice. In a loud voice, he returned to God. And then falling at Jesus' feet, he thanked him personally for the healing and the life that he had just delivered. Jesus asks that soul leper where the other 9 are. And the question was, where are they? Where are they? What are they recognizing? What are they seeing? It could be that they weren't there at Jesus' feet because they were following through on what he had actually said to them to go and show themselves to the priests. Or it could be that they had spent so much time on the edges that they finally had a chance to go and tell the people that they love them. We don't know why they don't return to say thank you immediately in that moment, right off the bat. But we do know that the one who returned to Jesus to thank him saw his healing, recognized the gift. And so today, I would like to encourage you to see, to recognize where God is healing you, to recognize the gift and to return in some way with a thank you. And that thank you will be personal for you. It's between you and your God. That gratitude that you have for seeing the healing that has taken place in your life, where God has filled you up with bread and God has returned you to a sense of your own self and well-being. So what an opportunity we have to say thank you to God for filling that void, because we do live in a world of lack. But thanks be to God, we don't have to experience that void. During this season, fall is at its glory. And I was driving the other day on R, and the red trees and the orange trees were finally popping. And some of them even look translucent, and it is beautiful. And we know that it's only going to be that way for a really short period of time. That's just how it is. So while we have a chance to see them, I would encourage you to see and to give thanks. Because we know that soon the wind is going to blow, those leaves are going to fall to the ground and rest upon the earth and awaiting the soft covering of the S word. And I don't want to say it yet, even though it was here this weekend and it was so pretty. We know that's where we're headed. That beauty will be buried. So let's look and let's see where God's beauty is at work in the world and in you. Today's a good day for that. It's a good day to enjoy the gift of life. Today's a good day to recognize that it is seriously a beautiful thing to just be alive on this fresh morning in this broken world, and to join the one who sees all that Christ has done and return in thanks. Because God has done for us what we can't do for ourselves. We're on the cross, and through suffering and dying, the wounds of Christ experienced all human plight, and it did not end there. It ended in healing and resurrection. That's where we're headed. A resurrection that we're going to soon celebrate at this table. And it is no coincidence that the liturgy is named the Great Thanksgiving. But it is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give our thanks and praise to God. Where with our tongues and our eyes and our hearts and our ears, we will see and taste together the goodness of God. Amen. Let's stand and sing. The whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you promise your church, if we die with you, we will also live with you. If we endure, we will also reign with you. Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. Strengthen us to believe your gracious promises. Lord, in your mercy. Great are your works, O Lord, and we delight in the wonder and majesty of creation. As the earth brings forth its fruit, renew your creation so that all creatures are sustained and nurtured. Lord, in your mercy. The heritage of nations belongs to you, and your spirit fills the earth. Bless presidents, prime ministers, and chancellors, lawmakers, judges, governors, and county officials, so that they reflect your faithfulness and uprightness in their work for the people. Lord, in your mercy. You wash us, and we are made clean. In your compassion, immerse all who are sick and suffering in your care. Especially pray for those on our prayer list, those for whom a candle has been lit, and those we name now in our hearts. Heal us even when there may be no cure, and give us thankful hearts. Lord, in your mercy. You call the people to be your own, and yet you have shown limitless love and mercy to people of every nation. Open our hearts, so that like you, we welcome the stranger in our midst. Lord, in your mercy. With love and thanksgiving, we remember those who have died in you. Give us certainty to trust the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting and delighting in you, we commend all our lives into your loving hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share Christ's peace with one another. Thank you. Let us pray. God, our provider, we bring nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it, except the gifts you have first given us, which we bring now to your table, and with them the offering of our lives. Nourish us now with the life that is really life, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is Christ's table. All are welcome. You may be seated. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you always in God's grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of blessing, at this table we have seen you face to face. And in the gift of Christ's body and blood, our hearts have been refreshed. Send us now to shine with your goodness and bear witness to the one we have received, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Serve the Lord.